Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Monday to you. All right, here's my question for you. Are you ready for it? Do you have a go-to passage of scripture that you memorized a long time ago that you find yourself referring to it time and time again? You bring it up when you need it, and you need it a lot. Do you have a go-to passage of scripture? I would love to know. 877-933-2484 or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So honored today to have our good friend Chip Ingram from Living on the Edge back on this show to talk to us about the power and the importance of memorizing scripture. And I'm going to tell you a quick story. My hubby and I, we volunteered for as youth pastors many years ago for about 5-6 years. And we tried this experiment with our kids one day, one Sunday morning. And this was when we were at a small church still meeting in a school. And we were, had them all in a hallway. I mean, how many great ministries have been born in hallways? Just saying. But anyway, we had all these kids. I think we had 50 youth sitting on the floor. And we had them all separate. We said, you're going to be on a deserted island. You're going to be put into prison. And it's just you and this piece of paper and this pen. What do you know? What do you know about Jesus? What do you know about his word? What do you know about his truth? And we separated them out, and we just spent the whole Sunday school having them write things down. And when they came back together, you cannot believe what these kids came up with. Kids who grew up in the church had almost nothing on their page. Some of these kids who said, I've just been relying on my parents my whole life and just kind of been spoon-fed and realized I've not done anything for myself. Some of these shy kids who'd been bullied and kind of excluded had so much of God's truth in their heart because they needed it. Other young girls who were constantly caught up in the sin of comparison would find certain songs, great Christian songs that were ministering to them, and there was truth hidden in those songs, so they recited those lyrics. It was absolutely an exercise in ownership for each of us. What do you know? What if this happened to you? What if you were thrust away from all of your commentaries, your smartphone? What do you know? What's in you? Well, this is why we're talking about this today. And Pastor Chip Ingram is so passionate about scripture memorization. And I think he has some really practical tips for us to so we can begin hiding God's word in our heart. So let me not waste another moment. Let me get him on the show. Chip Ingram's passion is helping Christians really live like Christians. As a pastor, author, coach, and teacher for more than 25 years, he's helped believers around the world move from spiritual spectators to healthy, authentic disciples of Jesus by living out God's truth in their lives and relationships in transformational ways. His vision and mission is just so mirrors Live the Promise vision. So this is why we love having him on the show. Dear Chip, welcome back to the program.
Susie, great to be with you. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. And Chip, we love to start our conversation talking scripture. I know you've memorized so much, many passages that you're going to have to pick one. But is there one that's been on your mind these days that you can share with us?
Yes, one I'm kind of working on, Colossians chapter 3, and an older one. But because I've been living kind of with a lot of pressure and a little bit of injury, Micah 6 says, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And I think sometimes when I get overwhelmed, I feel like, oh, I've got to do this, I ought to do that, there's what about this and all these demands, and I just step back and say, okay, what does God really want?
Mm.
He wants me to do what's right, okay? He wants me to love kindness. He wants me to be engaged and love people. And then regardless of whether it's criticism or praise, he wants me to walk humbly with him. And the other passage is the major portions of, you know, Colossians 3, and it starts with a clause that the sense is that since you've already, you know, if therefore you've been raised with Christ, it says, keep seeking the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for your life is hidden with Christ in God. So then, you know, you'll be revealed with Christ in that final day, talks about in verse 4 and following. And you know, it's just this very easy, it doesn't take but about 5 minutes of the news to see terrorism, a truck goes into a crowd, someone's throat who's a priest gets cut, economic spiraling, all this political rhetoric on both sides. It seems so unhealthy, and you know, you just all of a sudden you can feel like the world's out of control, as opposed to, you know, I'm going to be engaged in the world, but I need to set my mind on the things that are above. And there's a great God who's in control. What's my role? And you know, that I think our mindset, our perspective, I'm either looking through the filter of Scripture or the filter of culture and the news, and one takes me down. I have to deal with it. I don't want to isolate myself, but I want to look at life through God's perspective. And most of the saints that I read in the Bible are people that went through really hard times and trusted God in the midst of it. And so that's my goal.
You know, something I say a lot, just it helps my own soul, and it's just a reminder for me, is the storms reveal the truths we believe. No, the lies we believe and the truths we need. The storms reveal the lies we believe and the truths we need. And everywhere I turn, I see, and I'm in one myself, but walking through storms, it's like I feel like you can believe a lie in a season of favor and sort of get away with it because it remains untested. But in the storms, you start to see what's shaking. And really, the storm is a perfect time and place. I mean, we want to be memorizing all times, but I know lots of people listening today, Chip, are in a storm. But it is a time to look and go, what's not shaking in my storm? God's love, His word, His promise. So maybe speak to, just because you're walking through your own storm, how the anchor of Scripture has held you fast in such a time.
Yeah, I've just got, I mean, people, there's many people that have had lots of injuries, but I've got three different discs in my back that have all these problems and activity and constant pain and all the rest. And, you know, but just as I've, you know, gone through treatments, and I remember laying in the MRI tube, and I'm not really crazy about being in really super close places. And I remember our entire staff right now we have a number of young staff members, and what I realize, a lot of the basic truth, and so we're having our whole staff, we started in January, to go through something called the topical memory system, and it's what I started on years and years and years ago as a college student and a bricklayer, and it's put out by Nav Press, and it just is 30 topics, two verses in each one, and I remember laying in that MRI with my eyes shut, and I just started with, okay, I'm going to start with, you know, the gospel. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift is God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. You know, but God demonstrated His, and I just went through the verses in my mind, and it's amazing. When you focus on God's word, your body calms, the Spirit of God, you're focused on that which is good, and anyway, it has a very calming effect. And then there's been times where, you know, it's you hang on to promises, and it's hard to hang on to promises you don't know. So that's where Scripture memories play a big role.
Boy, so good. Talk about what Scripture says about itself, about Scripture, that the Word of God is living, active, and powerful. How this is different, memorizing Scripture, Chip, is different than memorizing a great quote. I mean, there's quotes that I've memorized that inspire me. Not the same thing, though.
Well, I think one, pause and realize Scripture is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. All Scripture is God-inspired or breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God might be adequately equipped for everything. And so, you know, it is living and active. And then the Spirit of God takes the written Word and He makes it the living Word as we activate it by faith. And so, you know, the writer of Proverbs, for example, would say, my son, don't forget my teachings, but let your heart, not just your mind, let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will be added to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then here's the purpose clause. So that you'll find favor and good reputation in the sight of God and man. And so, you know, what the scripture says all throughout is memorizing God's word, hiding it in your heart. That was Proverbs 3, for those who are wondering, where was that from? David would pray in Psalm 119. He says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Your word I've laid up in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so, you know, in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and it was with God. And all things came into being through him, and nothing has come into being that hasn't come into being. And then you learn later that the Word became flesh. It's Jesus. It's the Logos. So when God wanted to create the world, he spoke. When the Logos, when the second person of the Trinity came, he's the living Word. And then he's given us the written Word. So as we memorize that, and again, it's not just rote, and meditate on it and ponder it and renew our mind, it becomes a conduit where the Holy Spirit begins to activate and help us begin to meet God, see through life's perspective, and then it's just downright powerful. I mean, you know, as you quoted Hebrews 4, you know, the Word of God is living and active and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword and piercing to the division of soul and spirit and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so there's all kind of, you know, big metaphors in Scripture. You know, the Word of God is like fire. It's like it's stability like a rock. It's like a mirror, helps you to see who you are. So when we memorize God's word, we're interacting with the very heart and the mind and the will of God. So it's just an incredible privilege.
When we memorize God's word, we're interacting with the heart and the mind and the love of God. Boy, that is powerful. We're going to pause here and take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about the power of praying scripture. And then we're going to get some practical steps here about how we ourselves can hide God's word in our hearts. Talking to Chip Ingram, if you've got questions, you can email them in, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And we will be back in a minute. You know, that devil baits us into busyness, and it drains us, because when we slow down and we know God and his word, there's something about being in his presence. That's where the fullness of joy is found. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to have our good friend Chip Ingram on the show today to talk about scripture memorization. And before we get into some of the practical aspects of this, I'm thinking, as you have memorized so much scripture over the years, Chip, I'm thinking, you know, when you have that much truth in you, it becomes easier to discern the lies outside of you, right? I mean, it's like a plumb line. You can recall it so much quicker because there's so many departures from the truth happening every which way we turn.
Yeah, I was, for those that, you know, we've never met and talked, just a little background might be helpful. I never read the Bible. I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't have any kind of personal relationship with God until I was 18 years old. And in the first couple years I was a Christian, I was around a group where scripture memory was really important, and I was like, you know, give me a break, people. If it's in the book, like, if you when I want it, you know what?
I open it up,
and I read it. And, you know, they were into, no, you know, it renews your mind, and blah, 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 blah. And I was like the black sheep of this college ministry. And what I want to say, because I think this will help people who, I have a lot of people who, most Christians I know don't memorize scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we're doing this on our staff is I've got people that are staff members that don't know the very basics of scripture, because no one ever discipled them and gave them these basics of the gospel, prayer, the word, Bible, temptation, just what the Bible says to arm themselves. And so You know, I'm not down on them. I just thought, gosh, someone needs to help them. But my point is that if people could grasp, I think the Christian life is so misunderstood, and a lot of people go to church, they read the Bible now and then, and they're trying really hard to be good people, quote, to be good Christians, and they're mostly frustrated. You know, they have unresolved anger issues, or if the statistics, if there's 40% of Christian men that struggle with porn and a growing percentage of women, there's a huge percentage of people with alcohol and drug addictions. I mean, there's, and you know, I go to church, and I'm reading the Bible, so I'm trying really hard. And to me, the key to scripture memory is understanding. I mean, it's something you do, but the key to all of scripture memory is understanding life change never happens by trying hard to be a good Christian. It doesn't mean there's no effort, but when the scripture talks about how you change, it says, do not be conformed to this world, the pattern of this world, the pattern of this age, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, selfishness, all that, but be transformed. And then it doesn't say going to church a lot, by trying really hard, it says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's metamorphosis. It's a change from the inside out. Then you'll discover what the will of God is. Actually, by discover, it's testing. In other words, you'll test, you'll experience God's will, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And if people could grasp, it's renewing your mind. It's changing your thinking. Our thinking always precedes our emotions and our behavior. And most people are trying to change by focus on their behavior. Stop doing this. Start doing that. It doesn't work. Or at least their emotions. I need to feel better. But the fact is that our thinking is at the core of all life change, all transformation. And so scripture memory is just the fastest, most powerful, most effective way to have your thinking. I mean, Paul in Philippians 4 says, think. You know, whatever, think on the things that are lovely, holy, honorable, pure. Follow my example. Colossians 3, set your mind on the things that are above. Romans 5, you know, the mind set on the flesh, death. The mind set on the spirit, life and peace. As a man thinks in his heart, Proverbs, so he or she becomes. So for me, more than even the practice, it's, if you understand that as you memorize scripture, you're renewing your mind, then supernatural your behavior will start to change almost, not, I don't mean without trying, but we're a product of our thought life. And mm-hmm. So, like, example for me. Can I give you a quick example?
No, please, yes.
Okay. So for me, I read the Bible a little bit for a couple years. I was going to a Bible study. You know, I'm starting to go to church at least a couple times a month. You know, I'm a young college guy. But I have now, my life is really changing, but I have this unresolved struggle. My behavior is better. Supernaturally, after reading the Bible for, you know, a few months, I stopped cussing. I couldn't understand what happened. But I just had this hunger, and I would be reading the Bible. But I had an issue that I just try. In my mind, it was, you know, there were four girls for every guy on our campus, and in my mind, and it was the early 70s, and people didn't wear a lot, co-ed dorms, I could not stop lusting. And I felt overwhelmed by guilt, and even my external behaviors in terms of sexual purity made great progress, but in my mind, man, if you lust for a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery, I was like, I'm done. And I got to where two and a half years, trying. It's just like, this Christian life doesn't work. All I do is feel guilty all the time. I can't do that. And I was really discouraged. And then, the only option is you fake it or you quit. And I tried both. So, and I remember I had my roommate was going to this, people are familiar with the Navigators. They do a lot of discipleship, and they have these summer training programs where you go and live in a city, get a job, and do discipleship and all kind of good stuff. And so he was going to one of those, but you couldn't go until you had these 60 verses memorized. And he was a heavyweight wrestler, and I was on the basketball team. We roomed together. We're both very competitive. And so he left the room. He, like, $5, he bought these little cards. I thought, like, give me a break. Like, I'm going to actually pay. I'm not going to pay for the Bible. I mean, you are nuts, dude. You know, $5 was a lot back then. So I took 3x5 cards. I still have them. And I cut them up. And when he went out of the room, I copied down all of his cards. And so, you know, he's, you know, wrestlers. Wrestlers are chumps. You know, he's this huge guy. He could throw me around the room. So, you know, he was doing like 2 verses a week. I'm going, hey, basketball players, one a day. And then the whole deal was you had to review them all so you could say them word perfect. And you would say, you know, like assurance of salvation, 1 John 5:13. Then you would say it, then assurance of salvation, 1 John 5:13. 60 of them, word perfect. Okay. So he's doing a couple, you know. So I don't say anything because when I want to blow him away. You know, I just want to say, oh, by the way, how are you doing with that? And then I'm going to do like 60. Perfect. You know?
Not competitive, but keep going.
No. I'm an intense competitor.
Me too.
So anyway, I have to tell you what happened because there's a huge moral to this story. Mm. So I would actually, I'm reviewing them all the time. I play basketball and baseball. I still remember running in my cleats to preseason baseball practice, reviewing verses. And then I had a psychology class, and the guy was, you know, he was a wonderful person, but the most boring person in the world. And I knew all of his tests came straight out of the book. So I would put my book up, and I spent the whole hour reviewing verses. So I can tell you what happened on day 21. Day 21, I was out in the quad, and a co-ed who was in ministry, who was really attractive, that I was attracted to. And I felt bad when I lusted after secular girls, but I felt really bad when I lusted for Christian girls because I thought, oh, gosh, I mean, how low can you go, Ingram? And so I saw her in the quad, and we had a conversation, and I found my eye contact was just only with her eyes, and we had this great conversation. And I turned around and left, and I got about 20 feet, and she went the other direction. And a light came on and said, I didn't lust at all. In fact, what? And then I went to verse 25, verse 30, and I memorized, and it was like God broke the power of lust.
Wow.
And it was like, you're kidding me. And I couldn't figure out. I didn't know how it happened. I didn't make the connection until I realized. And then as I would walk around, I would be tempted to lust, and 1 John 2:14-16 would come to mind. Chip, love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that's in the world, you know. And it goes on to say, because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the things of the world are passing away, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And when I would be tempted, or how can a young man keep his way pure? The moment I'm tempted, I would quote those verses, sometimes out loud or in my mind. Mm. And crazy, like sometimes like 40 times a day I had a problem, right? And it was deliverance. Wow. And then it was like, whoa, this is like, all I can tell you is after that happened, it was like, I'll tell you another story because I hear the music. If you want your kids to get better grades, God does something with your mind when you memorize scripture that is mind-boggling. But life change happens when you renew your mind, not by just trying hard to change your behavior.
So good. More with Chip Ingram in a moment. Really, really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our good friend Chip Ingram from Living on the Edge, talking about the power and the importance of scripture memorization. And when I was a young mom, Chip, our listeners know the story, but I battled Lyme disease in the worst way. I had 3 little kids, and it wiped out my short-term memory, and it was really, really sick from it. And
wow.
Still have some residual effects and things I'm even dealing with right now and today about it. But I will tell you, it was so horrifying to read something in scripture, see my notes from the day before, but not remember at all reading what I'd read the day before and just feeling like I've lost my brain. But I've sensed the invitation from the Lord to just start memorizing scripture, same kind of grit like you did, just grabbed hold of it. And what's amazing to me is when people say things to me now, they don't even know what they're saying to me, but when they see stuff that I do on DVDs and they're like, your recall is unbelievable. Every time I hear something like that, I'm overwhelmed and I give the glory to God, but it's such a pendulum swing and I attribute it to hiding God's word in my heart. I mean, truly, I wanted to know his word. I was desperate for it, but it did something in my physical mind as well. Like it healed something and I got my brain back and I marvel at it. But you were saying before the break, just there was almost like as you were hiding God's word in your heart, it's like your godly choices actually became more instinctive even.
It really was, and I would start to make it. Things started happening because, you know, by the way, I am an overachiever. I'm a little over the top, and some of that can be okay, and some of it's not good. But for scripture memory, at least for a good season, it was really helpful because, you know, in my mind, like if 60 verses does that, wow. So I started writing my own cards, and then I memorized hundreds and hundreds of verses, and then I met a guy who said, you know, what you should do is you should do chapters because then they're in context. And then I went on a couple basketball trips and had a guy that really inspired me. And we would do like we did the book of Philippians on one trip and the book of James on another trip.
Wow.
And you know, he probably reviews him more diligently than me. But I literally what you just said, if people I did that and I was a good student. But after I memorized scripture for about 8 months and I kept doing this, my recall, I mean, believe me, all the glory goes to God. I got straight A's the rest of the way through college and straight A's all the way through grad school.
My goodness.
And it was like, you got to be kidding me. But part of it, I'm sure our brains are a lot, you know, like a muscle in terms of development. And I think they're really underdeveloped. And we now know that, you know, if all people do is watch screens and videos, even small children, that the development of the brain, there's something that happens when you read, there's something that happens when you memorize. And so I would just, you know, I think some of the breakthroughs that people want to have is if we could grasp, it's not just words, it's not just kind of mind renewal, setting goals. There's actual power in God's word to give you the want to do what's right. And in fact, you know, Philippians 2:12-13, you know, it says, you know, work out your salvation, for it is God who's at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And yeah, you're right. And I would have experiences like I would be praying and saying, Lord, I really need to know what to do about X. And I would sit quietly and God would bring a verse. And, oh, wow. Or how many times now for you, Susie, you're talking with someone across the table and you realize, man, they're unloading a huge problem and your first response is, I have no idea what to tell this person. And you whisper, you know, as you're listening this prayer, oh, God, give me wisdom. And you find coming out of your mouth a passage that you've memorized. And then you watch that literally like, you know, it's the sword of the Spirit, be implanted in someone's mind and heart, and all of a sudden, bang, they get it. Anyway, what you're talking about is it's so basic on the one hand, but maybe the enemy's so against it that most of us Christians don't do it. And my confession is, you know, now I have memorized a lot of scripture, but it's reviewing to keep it really sharp that is the biggest challenge for me.
Okay, so I know some are thinking, okay, where do I start? And they hear that you're memorizing whole books. That's kind of amazing and intimidating. So where would they start? You gave a few tips last time you were on with us,
yep.
but start there if you would.
Okay, I would say it's probably more than $5 now, but the Topical Memory System by the Navigators, NavPress, or you go to Amazon, Topical Memory System. It's 60 verses. It has a little booklet about how to memorize. It gives you what it provided for me was a framework, and then I went from there. Because what I did then is when God spoke to me through a verse, I would write it down and I would give it a topic. And so in my brain, what I wanted to have, if you can think of a metrics, matrix, you know, like horizontal and vertical. So, you know, all across the top are all these topics like, you know, God's will, lust, love, power, temptation, the future, dreams, you know, all these different topics. And then underneath of them is a list of verses over the years that you've memorized. Well, now the brain has the ability to pull either the topic or the passage. And where I got that was from the topical memory system. And, you know, when you just do it, you could do just one or two verses a week, and then you'll realize after a couple of weeks, you know the gospel. And then pretty soon, the next set of verses, oh, you know the basics of the Christian life. Oh, the next set of verses is overcoming temptation. And, you know, so I would say that's where to start. And another place that Teresa and I have really worked on, we came from, you know, parents that really, really loved us, but, you know, had their issues. And so we, because of the alcohol in our backgrounds, we didn't realize we were dysfunctional until we got out and met people that weren't. And so, you know, when you're I just learned, okay, you're the youngest, you're the rescuer of a dysfunctional alcoholic family. Your brain thinks you need to save everybody, rescue everybody. You will be an overachiever, blah, 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 blah. And how do you change those embedded, ingrown lies about who you are and the only way to be accepted? And so what we did is we identified the lies, and we would write that on the top of a 3x5 card. And I mean, just very specifically, everyone needs to like me all the time for me to feel okay about me. And then I made a little picture of a stop sign. I colored it red, and I said, stop. And then the truth is, and then I flipped it over. The truth is, I am made in the image of Christ and fully loved because of Christ's work for me, just as I am.
Wow.
And then, you know, and then I would write a verse, you know, and the verse might be, you know, Zephaniah 3:17 about, you know, God's love and he sings over me, or, you know, God's loved me with an everlasting love. And so what I did is that we started to attack those lies that we believed. We identified them. Then we would write the truth, and then we'd put a verse with it. And in the mornings, I remember my wife had the worst self-image of anyone I'd ever met. And, you know, we went to marriage counseling, and thank God the guy was just so biblical, and he gave us these tools. And, in fact, I think a William Backus wrote a book called Telling Yourself the Truth that kind of takes the same focus. And I remember every morning for about 2 years, Teresa and I would read these cards. And then she did that with our daughter and with our sons. And, you know, that's how you renew your mind. And I think there's just a lot of people that feel like I'm stuck with my unresolved anger, or I'm stuck in this addiction, or I'm stuck comparing myself with people. And we're human, so you try, and then you either quit or you fake it. And you just act like, you know, I came to... In that particular area of lust, I just sort of parked that and said, that never changes. You know, that just never changes, and I'll try and do better in all the other, you know, areas of my life. I'll try real hard not to act on it, but it just never changes. You can't win. And that just sort of contradicted, you know, we're more than conquerors in Christ, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So anyway, practically, you know, the TMS, or start with an area where you struggle and write down some verses. And for me, the how to do it, I thought it was really important to write the topic, say it out loud. And then what I try and do in the car is, instead of listening to the radio or sports talk or just music, which, you know, all that can be great, is just take some time and mentally, you know, rehearse them in my mind and say them out loud. So that's sort of the
really good
process that's been helpful.
I think you mentioned, too, speaking it into your phone and listening to it back. Did you say that? Or did someone else say that to me?
I like that.
Isn't that a good idea?
That's a really good idea.
I thought I'd heard that from you. So do you always attach a topic? So you're saying, you know, resisting temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13. So your brain hooks the topic and the verse together.
Yeah.
You always do that. Okay, interesting. That's really great. That's really great. Okay, this listener says, I've been memorizing scripture for about 8 months now. I was reading multiple translations and then picking the translation I liked best. Then a few months ago, I thought, I am becoming too much of a consumer, picking what I like best, the wording. So So now I'm back to reading multiple translations, but only memorizing from one. Can Chip speak to this?
I think it sometimes it follows your journey. All the early verses back when I was memorizing it, they only had it in, I think they had it in King James, and then there was a big breakthrough and they did it in New American Standard. So probably my first 30 or 40 are in King James, and then the American Standard is you know kind of a very direct translation. So I memorized a lot in that. Then, you know, in a lot of the narratives, you know, the New American Standard is a very word for word. I really like that when I'm teaching. But in sort of the narratives, Old Testament or stories, especially the 1984 NIV, it really catches the flavor of the story. So I don't, you know, I've got things memorized in different translations. Most of them are probably either the New American Standard or the NIV, because I tend to teach out of those the most. But there's been times where, you know, I don't know about you all, but just to be fresh, like I'll read some new translation and I'll read a passage that I'll think, wow, you know, and God speaks to me and I memorize that. I think the thing is I want to memorize what God is speaking to me. I don't want to go to it like what do I want it to say to me and then memorize that.
Right.
But in my journey, I think just make sure that you're, you know, using really good translations. And there's a little bit of variation, and some of them speak a little bit more. So I wouldn't be too uptight. I tell you what, most people aren't memorizing scripture. I wouldn't be too uptight about doing it in various translations. I tend to do one or two, but I don't think I was very – Susie, why don't you talk to that? I'm listening to my answer going, Ingram, that's not very good. Susie, take it away. I'll pass the baton.
I fully agree with everything Chip just said. I'm just kidding. No, but I do too. I've got New King James Version. I've got NLT. I've got NIV. And I think because I've got these different books, scripture translations out, and I may land on one. And like you said, there's times where it jumps off the page, and that particular translation is the one that I grab for some reason, just because it's what's speaking to me. But I think we could probably get real legalistic about it. And the fact, Cheryl, that you're memorizing scripture is a great, great thing. Yeah. When we come back, Chip, I want to know from you if there is a go-to, of all of the passages that you've memorized, if there's one or two that are just go-tos that you come up for you again and again. I'd love to know that. Talking to Chip Ingram, and we will be back more with Chip in a moment. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson, and this is With the Promise, talking to Chip Ingram today about the importance and the power of scripture memorization. And before the break, Chip, I asked if, of all the hundreds of verses that you've memorized over the years, are there these couple that are just go-tos for you that you bring up again and again?
I think, like anything, the ones you use the most are the ones that you tend to know the best. Hmm. And because of the ministry I had in Santa Cruz and then a lot overseas, we've experienced a lot of spiritual warfare. And early on, all my kids, I realized they needed to understand, what do you do when you get not just some temptation, but some real frontal attack? And I don't want to be an alarmist or anything like that, but we've had, you know, audio manifestations and visual manifestations, demonic activity, and really bizarre things happen. And so 1 John 5:4-5, 1 John 4:4, you know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, or this is the victory that's overcome the world, even those who believe in the name of the Son of God, or Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, speaking of Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. Ephesians 6, that whole chapter of just, you know, I found myself as recently as, you know, 3 nights ago with, we're starting a new series on the real God. It's on the attributes of God. And, you know, we're putting a lot of energy in creating a new small group resource, and it's just like, wow, we had this wave of crazy stuff in our house, and in the middle of the night, and I got up, I was quoting those verses out loud, and you know, commanding evil spirits to leave our home. And another core one for me, because we use it as our profile of a disciple, so that there's actual metrics to, you know, how are you doing in your Christian life. And so Romans 12 is, you know, verse 1 is my relationship with God and my surrender to Him. My body's a living sacrifice. My verse 2 is, you know, my relationship to the world that's always trying to pull my heart away from God, not conform to the world, be transformed. Verses 3 through 8 is my relationship to myself, where I'm told to, you know, have a sober self-assessment. Don't think too highly of yourself, not too low, but to realize how you fit in. You're a part of a body, and you have gifts that need to be fit in. Verses 9 through 13 talk about my relationship with believers. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another, brotherly love. And then verses 14 through 16 are my relationships to evil, at times unbelievers or injustice, and, you know, where I'm taught to, you know, don't be overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't take my own revenge. You know, if my enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. And so those, you know, Romans 12 is sort of, I have a little litmus test of how am I doing in my relationship with God? Am I surrendered? You know, how am I doing in my relationship with the world system? Do, you know, am I separate from the world's values? How am I doing in an accurate view of who I really am? Not too high, not too low, but accurate. How am I doing in loving other believers? And then how am I doing when, you know, I get a raw deal or injustice or difficulty or spiritual attack? So those passages are like sort of foundational for me in my journey.
So good. If you don't mind me asking, how about your wife? You said she battled insecurity, and I don't know a woman who doesn't or hasn't at some point in their lives. Were there anchor verses for her? I mean, first of all, I got to say, I just applaud you both for going after it. Where you get the cards, you write the lie, you cross it out, you write the verse. This, to me, is how I've gained ground in the walk of faith, of just rolling up my sleeves and laying hold of those promises, not having them spoon-fed to me. I had to go get them and own them. So I appreciate that you so did that. But how about for your dear wife? Is there? Can you think of passages that anchored her in her identity?
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, this, you made it sound a little bit like we were so broken. Okay. You know, I think frustration is the key to change.
Yeah, true.
Okay. So I mean, the fact is, it's not like we were noble and like, oh, we're going to memorize scripture like nobody else. It's like, hey, our marriage isn't working. You don't like yourself. You have all these images from your dad and your childhood. I'm a workaholic, and I'm trying hard not to be. It's not working. And I mean, we were really desperate. And so, yeah, we got counseling, but, you know, getting insight about why you have problems doesn't change you, you know. Mm-hmm. So now, how do I renew my mind? So Psalm 139 was certainly a classic, you know, passage for my wife, that she's fearfully, wonderfully made. The identity issues from, you know, the book of Ephesians, you know, where, you know, she's adopted, she's loved, she's secure, she has an inheritance, she's deeply valued. You know, all those things about, you know, not by works of righteousness, Titus 3:5, that she has done. So, you know, she was very performance. You know, she was loved or felt loved when she, you know, did everything right, and you could never do anything wrong growing up, or there was, you know, a lot of anger. And to believe that God loves her for her. So, you know, it's really funny, because we kind of went to counseling, and in my mind, and my arrogance was, you know, Teresa's struggles were more pronounced in terms of you could tell it bothered her. Mine were more internal, but probably as deeper. And so when we went, I thought we were going to help her, and like session 3, I'm realizing this is not for her. I'm not doing these verses for her. Now I wanted to support her, but and I, you know, she ended up doing by the way, for women, she ended up about 20 years later doing a series called Precious in His Sight. And Living on the Edge has it. It's on CD. We've done any small group or MP3, whatever. But Precious in His Sight. And we put it on the radio once, I remember. And it was really funny. Like, you know, she didn't want to do it. She's a little bit, you know, she's not at all a limelight person. And it was like, so the response was like way better than what I had taught the, you know, the series before. You know?
A test for both of you.
Hey, honey, you know, I think God uses it. I think you just need to get used to it. But it's really helped. It's good for men as well, but it really is a tender journey into, I think, the struggles that women have. And she just describes, and then she kind of has these cards and this is how she did it. So if there's someone that would help, that would be great.
Very, very good. Well, this is an excerpt from your book, Holy Ambition. Biblical faith believes in a very specific God with a very specific character who has made very specific promises. This is so powerful, Chip, and I would love for you to make that connection to not only scripture memorization, but memorization of his promises, where we are anchored upward and forward. We're anchored to him, and we need his promises. Therefore, now, here and now, while we're walking this earth before we see him again. So speak to that, if you would.
Well, Jesus said the number one agenda, someone asked him, what's the work of God? And he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. And at the end of the day, the number one thing God wants is he wants me to trust him. Another word for that is faith. I have faith that he'll provide. I'll have faith he'll work this out. I'll have faith that, you know, and well, how do you get faith? Faith comes hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But faith is anchored in promises. You know, God promised that he would give you the strength. I believe that to the point I'm going to act on it. God promises he'll help me to endure. You know, God promises that this victory is available. And so you have to claim those specific promises, and you can only do that if you know them. And so I think, Susie, that's at the heart of, you know, 2 Peter, he talks about the journey of faith. And then he says, he talks about that everything that we need to live this life, he says, we already have. All the divine power is already available that you can live this new life. And then he says, by his precious promises. So I think it's one of those where rather than just reading in general and hoping, you know, I make a little progress, ask God, you know, those that are listening. So where do you struggle? You struggle forgiving people? You struggle with your husband? You struggle with some addiction? You struggle with fear of the future? You struggle with insecurity? Find a promise from God, write it on a card, personalize it, and say, every time that fear comes up, I'm going to say that out loud and declare, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. And then regardless of how you feel, take the step, whatever that step is, toward what it would look like to trust him, and you will discover the power of God will be released to help you do what you didn't think you could, because you can't. Jesus is the only one that can live the Christian life, but he lives in you. It's trusting his promises and letting him live his life through you, I think, is what it really means to be a follower of Christ.
Wow. Appreciate all that you do for the kingdom and to build up and encourage those of us who follow Jesus. Wondering, Chip, as we wrap, if you would pray for that person listening today who's maybe lived on the fringes and is sensing the invitation to become much with God, to lay hold of those promises and starting to hide scripture. Would you pray for that person?
Father, you know every person's mind, heart, issue that's listening right now. And God, as there has been, we've quoted and talked about your word, and so you have pricked the conscience and wooed people to yourself. And so I pray that you would help them just say, Lord, I'll take the next step. Would you help them to cry out to you? Just take the next step. Would you cause your word to come alive in a way, and not duty and not ought, but as they do, would you speak? Would you deliver? Would you comfort? Would you let people know you're available? In Jesus' name.
Amen. Dear Chip, thank you. Thank you for your time today. We sure appreciate you.
My privilege. Thanks, Susie, and blessings to y'all.
And to you. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you will find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, okay? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a blessed day.